Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, July 23rd variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here today with Matthew Dito, who's a planner tech in our department. He's going to be at the controls today with Terrence Wong, who is an intern in our department and is a high school student. We'll be entering his senior year at Washington High School, and he'll be leaving us after this week to go back to high school. Being overseen here by Ava Atera-Taylor. And I'd like to begin with a few items about the hearing today. First, some general information about the presentations. The project sponsor, the applicant, and or the owner of the property would be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance have been met. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Depending on the number of speakers for any given item, that may be reduced to 2 minutes in order to ensure that we can hear all the items on the calendar today. If there is any public comment in opposition, then we would allow 3 minutes for the project sponsor to rebut those comments. Now, in order to grant a variance, Planning Code Section 305C requires that the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional or extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheets on the far wall. That's very important for ensuring that your appeal rights are preserved because the decision itself is appealable within 10 days of issuance of the letter. It's appealable to the Board of Appeals. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do obviously encourage parties to meet and discuss the case, we would suggest that that be done outside of the hearing so as to not disturb others. Also, please turn off any cell phones or other noise-making devices. The next variance hearing that we have will be scheduled for August 27th. And now we're going to move on to a couple of housekeeping items. There are a couple items on the calendar. One item will be continued, and that's item number seven. It's case number 2013-1652V for 312 Green Street. It's a rear yard variance, and we'll be continuing that to August 27th, the next hearing. That's because a discretionary review request was filed on that project on Monday, and we will be continuing it 1 month now to allow for the DR hearing to be scheduled, and we'll have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission so they can consider the DR at the same time that I consider the variance. Is there anyone who is here to speak on that item? There was a gentleman here earlier, but I think he has since left. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the continuance of 312 Green Street? Seeing none, we continue that to next month to allow time for the DR hearing to be scheduled. And now we can move on to the consent calendar.
There's one item on the consent calendar. Item number one, case 2014.0632V, 2551 21st Avenue, side yard variance sought.
So now this would be granted unless there is someone here to request a full hearing on this item. So is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this item and take it off of the consent calendar? Seeing none, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. Now we're going to move on to the regular calendar, and we have received a request to take item number 10 out of order because the project sponsor has a time conflict. So provided that that is not an issue for any of the parties here, I think this will be a relatively quick item. So we will take item number 10 out of order as the first item on the regular calendar.
Item number 10, case 2014.0573V, 3450 21st Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Zoning Administrator Scott Sanchez for the courtesy of taking us first. We did a pretty complete job on our paperwork going through all of the requirements for a variance, but very briefly, the planning code explicitly provides for exceptions to height for various elements, one of those being dormers. Well, we're proposing a dormer at the roof level. However, we're in a rear yard, and we are in an exceptional circumstance because our height limitation falls in the rear yard sections of the planning code, and therefore we don't get the benefit of the exception that everybody else gets. And so we have to go through a process and ask you for the variance, which is what it's all about. I'm going to turn it over now to Lewis. I think we've covered all the variance elements in our papers, and Lewis Butler will show you exactly what it is and where it is, where these dormers are. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm going to explain a few of the architectural points that we're going to address here. Luke, there. So on this first graphic, this is page A2.2. You'll see that what we have are a pair of dormers that were granted by a previous permit in 2013, and we're hoping to move those dormers approximately 7 feet to the north. They work much better for the building architecturally on the interior, and we think they look much better architecturally on the exterior. So in this first graphic, we'll see where the dormers have been approved already, and we have that permit, and where they are proposed to go 7 feet to the north. So let's go to A32. I'd also like to show you, this is the east elevation showing the previous dormer permit approved and the proposed dormer location. And now we'll look at the west elevation. This elevation is of particular interest because it shows the existing chimney. And again, the previous approval of the dormer was behind the chimney. The proposed is now free of the chimney to the north. This particular view also shows the amount of exterior detail on this building. This is a 1929 building in a Jacobean style, a fairly rare style. It's the second one of this style we've worked on, second substantial building of this style. They tend to be that way. We are restoring this building fully on the facade and on all sides, so this building will look absolutely from the street the way it did in 1929. It's a very important part of the project for our clients, a very important part of the project for us. This house has an attic that is a semi-improved attic. It's been used as habitable space for decades. It was never approved as habitable space. In the last couple of months, we received a permit to make this top floor legal with full approval from the building department, so we now have a habitable top floor. In this top floor, I'd like to go back to A22. There is a very, very long gable that you'll see that extends northward from the main area of the building. So if you look at the roof plan, you'll see the main, where that kind of big cross is, that's the main area of the space on that top floor in the center. And then you'll see that very long gable running down to the left towards the north. The head height in that area is limited. To use that area better for interior purposes, the dormer really looks best at the end of the building. Also, there are existing skylights in that location right now. They're in disrepair, actually a substantial amount of existing skylights. So one of the things that we like about this location is we're removing existing skylights that have views, identical views of the neighbors, and we're replacing them with the dormers that give us more ceiling height, but essentially keep the general feel and neighborliness of that space the same. You'll note a letter from Jay Turnbull discussing the exterior of the building. I think his points and his history of Jacobean architecture are very interesting. I think they do apply. Let's go back to 3.4. The Jacobean architecture, the elements like to be separated, so we've separated the dormer from the chimney. We've scaled it to look like the dormer over the entry, and generally have tried to keep the look of this building very much the way it would have been designed in 1929. Although we are in the rear yard, we view this building as a freestanding building and are very concerned that we keep the architectural integrity all the way around. I'm certainly available for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And again, we've taken item number 10 out of order for 3450 21st Street. See public comment on this item. Please step forward, sir.
You have 3 minutes. Hi, my name is Jeff Shad. I'm a neighbor. I have no problem with what's been proposed. The reason I came to speak was because I'm interested in knowing if the proposed changes are going to cause the project to run even one day longer than it has. This project has been going on for well over a year, maybe a year and a half. This is the first time I've come forward. I'm in favor of the project as it was proposed. We have no problem with it. We feel people should be able to do with their property basically what they want, as long as they don't infringe on neighbors. But the length of this project, the noise, the vibration, the dust, the dirt, the traffic, the number of workers working on it 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, and then when they're gone, there's two security guards taking up parking. We have no parking. I asked informally one of the architects involved, not this gentleman, I think his partner, if they could figure out a way, since they have so many people coming in every day, if they could maybe meet at a central location and maybe take a bus in to kind of alleviate the problem with the parking for the neighbors. But parking's limited, a lot of Victorians without garages. And she said, well, you wouldn't really want a Google bus coming in here and spewing smoke like they do, diesel smoke, comments kind of like that. But instead of that, you know, that wouldn't be good, but instead of that, what we have, that would be coming in the morning, let's say, and then taking them somewhere to the general contractor's location of choice, whatever, where they could meet. But instead, we have two-hour parking there, so we have about 15 employees that work for the general contractor who have to move their cars every 2 hours. And so they're starting and stopping cars and shuffling and trading spaces, doing what they have to do their job. I have no problem with that. I understand it. But anyway, we've got traffic all the time, people circling. So just to get back to my point, I'm against this proposed change if it takes one day longer than the original project. Otherwise, I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you. So when did construction start on the project?
I think Mr. Butler, I don't have the date. It's been well over a year.
Okay.
Closer to a year and a half. I'm sorry, I don't have the date.
Okay.
It's been going on forever, actually.
We'll ask the sponsor. It's okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And again, it's 3450 21st Street. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal. If maybe you could address the timing. And you know, these are already approved features that are being relocated, and maybe you could address if that have any schedule impacts as well as part of your rebuttal.
Yes, I'm really glad the neighbor actually spoke. He and I have spoken in the past, not often enough, clearly. I did not mention something, which is that these dormers are in the location that they were shown at the initial neighborhood outreach meeting, by the way. So we are where we started, and I'm glad that he phrased his words the way he did. This will not take a day longer than the previous proposal. Our project has been an onslaught in the neighborhood. I'll be the first to admit that. We have active outreach to the neighbors, but it's almost impossible to outreach enough for what we're doing. We're compressing what should be a longer project into one that we want to finish on November 17th. And our client is adamant that we hit that date. And so we're under a lot of pressure from all sides, frankly. So again, I can't express enough appreciation for the neighborhood putting up with us. We are really taking over the street just trying to get done earlier, and we do not want to get done a day later for any reason, these dormers included.
Thank you. So with that, I mean, it sounds like the proposal will not vary greatly from what's already been approved and should not result in any further delays. You know, to contribute to moving this forward in a timely fashion, I'll ask that staff develop a decision letter as soon as possible as well to keep the project moving forward. And I believe the neighborhood notification is already out to notice and will expire shortly. So with that, I'm inclined to grant the requested variance. I'd close the public hearing, and we'll do our best to expedite that decision letter to ensure this moves on in a timely fashion. And we can move on to the next item number two.
All right, moving back to item number two, case 2014.051V, 1961 Green Street, rear yard variance sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. It's Lewis Butler. I promise not to do this too often. This is a variance requesting a light well fill-in. Just a general description to cover the five variance findings. This is a building, an early Victorian, that was built with a light well. By my read, anticipating other buildings that would need light wells so that there could be bathrooms and so forth that have access to the light in the middle of the block. This building is a little bit further back on the site than the two buildings that are adjacent, but it's really not, on average, further back than other buildings on the block. This is a rear setback or rear facade location that's fairly common. This light well is already filled on the lowest floor. We would like to fill it on the upper floor. I don't believe we have any opposition. In fact, I believe we have support from the neighbors. The condition for which this light well has been built is no longer existing because the house itself, our subject property, does not benefit from the light well, nor does the property, which is to the west. So, however, the floor plan that we anticipate, and you'll see photographs of the light well from all angles, including the inside, the floor plan that we would like to propose for this building is greatly enhanced by the addition the addition into this light well. We looked at several schemes without filling the light well and a scheme with filling the light well, and it was clear that filling the light well was a critical part of this process. So we asked for permission to fill this light well. It's, I think, about 15 or 16 square feet, and we don't believe that it gives us something that other people don't have, nor do we believe that it is detrimental to anybody else in the neighborhood. And I appreciate your attention to this.
Thank you. Sir, is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number two on the regular calendar for 1961 Green Street. Any public comment? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the building is a potential historic resource and does have a substantial front setback, which may not be totally out of character with the block, but is a much greater requirement than the code would otherwise impose on the property, and does direct development towards the rear of the property. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number three, case 2013.0083V, 270 Brighton Avenue, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone? You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, Madam Secretary. Reza Khoshnavisan, SIA Consulting. The project before you is a 28-unit mixed-use development at the corner of Brighton and Ocean Avenue. The case before you is a rear yard and an exposure variance that we are seeking. And basically, you know, if you refer to the diagram that I have, the yellow area is an existing pattern of mid-block open space. And the green is basically what we are proposing to have. Right next to it, there is a PG&E substation that serves electricity to the whole neighborhood. And we see the likelihood of that getting turned into a development very remote. This is basically what you see adjacent. You know, this is some major equipment that PG&E has at that location. The reason we think that, you know, the variance is justified is because, you know, in an NC district, you normally have to provide 25% rear yard, and in normal 100-foot deep lots, it comes up to 25 feet. We have 9 units that opens into this rear yard, and we are at 24.5 feet. Plus, we have the PG&E substation that it has a width of 25 feet, which gets us almost to 50 feet unobstructed light and ventilation to those units. Not granting the variance would turn those two-bedroom units, family-style units that is called for that neighborhood, into one-bedroom or studios. And we feel that the variance that we are seeking does not impede in the pattern of the mid-block open space, neither does it open into people's backyards that cause privacy issues and that sort of things. And in addition to that, you know, I just wanted to let you know that we have, through six or seven neighborhood meetings, you know, we rallied, you know, and talked to all the neighborhood groups, the adjacent neighbors. Where we worked very hard to make sure that, you know, everybody's comfortable with this project. And up to this point, we have not heard any opposition to this project. And we have also a letter of support from a couple of neighborhood groups that you probably have in your packet. We are available for any comments you may have.
Thank you. Wanted to clarify. So the are there two separate lots here? There's the, well, at least there's the RH2 portion here, and that's going to be a code complying project along Tina Building on Brighton.
That's right.
And then the, what you're seeking, the exposure variance and the rear yard modification, is for the corner for the Ocean and Brighton, the neighborhood commercial portion.
That's right.
Okay. And are they two separate lots, or is it one lot that...
They were originally two separate lots, and due to the fact that one owner owned the lots for a certain period of time, the assessors went ahead and merged them.
Okay.
So we filed the certificate of compliance, and, you know, and that small lot was the RH2 zone. So we were encouraged by the department to go ahead and split that from the project, and we have done that, you know, and it's, as a matter of fact, that project is under construction, and it's almost ready to get sheetrocked. We're very close to completion.
Great. And then for the BMR requirement, the affordable units, you're providing those on-site, is that correct?
That's right.
And it'll be rental units as well?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see if there's any public comment.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment for item number 3 for 270 Brighton Avenue? Any public comment for this item? Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification and exposure variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 4, case 2013.1528V. 429 Grandview Avenue, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Angela Matt, and I'm the architect for the project at Grandview. And as displayed in our application for a required variance, or a variance application, we're looking for a rear yard setback variance. And if you review the application, you can see that this property is quite unusual in its size and dimensioned. It's roughly 57 by roughly 52 feet in depth. So we are presented with a very shallow lot on a very steep site. The site measures 24.9% from front to back, from Grandview to the back. Now, my client is allowed to build right up to the property line on the sides per code, and in the front, the same. This is a zero lot line buildable area in the front, but we have, you know, on this lot, you can see from the plot plan on the screen, that we have this very unusual notch in the property that actually belongs to the south neighboring building, this large 12 unit building to the south. That notch restricts us from building right up to the edge with any openings that are operable. So what we have done to accommodate that notch was, first of all, last year we approached the owner of that property and requested some sort of negotiation, either through purchasing that piece of property to include it in lot number 40, or negotiating maybe an easement of some sort where we would keep it below windows that she has on that side. But we received, a flat-out zero response or a response of no negotiation. So I've had this in my office for close to 2 years now, and we've tried to work around that notch. And additionally, within that notch and beyond that notch, there are three windows and six vents on the south facing building that are non-conforming. So I came down to the city, reviewed the plans on file, and then hired a surveyor to spot those windows and vents. Three of them are illegal and include six vents that they sit on the property line. So they were not built according to the plans that are on file with the city. The windows are, everything got shifted to the east. Rather than to avoid, my client's desire was to avoid any conflict and create, you know, something that was neighborly and not obstruct those windows. So we pushed the development further east at that side lot line. And through many, many iterations, as I said, it's been in my office for 2 years, we developed a stair tower that was pushed further to the east in order to get to two additional levels of housing. My client's intent is to add a second unit above their existing unit, keep the first two floors completely intact. Almost zero work is done on the first two floors, so that unit is viable. They like it. It's sustainable. All we'll do is structurally fortify the sides to bring the loads down from up top. But we've pushed that stair tower back in an effort to not conflict with those non-conforming windows on the neighboring property. And what we've produced is a building, let's go to the next slide, that sits at the back corner of the neighboring four-story building. And it's this corner that's in question, but we avoided all the windows, but we've built corner to corner. This line right here is where the unit, the building next door goes four stories, and then it steps down in the back. So we have avoided really putting a wall up against any window with this latest design iteration. And we feel that in order to get a viable unit on the third and fourth floor, we're asking for a variance on the rear yard setback that allows us to build all the way out to our existing rear yard setback up to the fourth floor. So if you have any questions on this, I'm available for comment. Thank you for your attention.
So the existing building already encroaches into the required rear yard, and you're just building vertically, maintaining that rear wall, and thus you need the variance.
That's correct.
You're not encroaching any further than the existing
building. Not any further, no. We're following what sits there today, and it does encroach by 3 foot. So, but we propose to add the additional units just in a vertical line. We are not stepping back into the rear yard at all.
And then the adjacent property to the south, which I understand has submitted a letter in opposition, when you viewed the plans, the windows and the vents on the approved plans were within that area, kind of abutted what was their property. I mean, it didn't abut the property line, the shared property line.
No, it does abut it. I have an elevation that shows it.
Okay, here. But it's sort of on the approved plans. I thought you were saying that on the approved plans, they were further to the west?
Correct. We've avoided all the windows.
Okay.
With this new development, we are avoiding blocking any of the existing non-conforming windows.
And it's just what will be blocked is just the vents, which?
Three vents. And then so the new development comes in right at this edge. Okay, so we have spared, here's the property line. We've spared blocking these three windows.
Okay.
But the new development does come right at that edge.
And do you know what? Well, the vents are the vents for washer dryer, or do you know what the vents are for?
I don't know. We're gonna hit two of them down in this region. I don't know what they are.
And those windows, you know, what rooms the windows open into?
I think the top one is a kitchen. I'm not sure. Oh, the two smaller ones are a bathroom, and the top one I think is either kitchen or dining.
Okay, and that's all within the buildable area. It's not subject to the variance because that is just at the very rear, like on the plans here, to what's farthest to the left. So the area in question where the conflict is not subject to the variance application.
Correct. We've spared that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So was there any public comment on this item, on item number 4 for 429 Grandview Avenue?
Yes.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Jay Elliott. I'm here on behalf of my mother, who's the owner of the building that we were just talking about. And a lot of the tenants are also concerned about the planned expansion and conversion of this RM zone property, including safety, height, width, encroachment, and just its overall direct impact on the privacy of several tenants. This is a two-story building currently. They're planning on going to four stories. They will block the two tenant windows so that they will no longer have a view. We are also concerned that this is the proposed project is basically pushing the boundaries to the very edges of its line, taking away the light, the air, the space that currently exists between the properties. And its monstrous height will definitely impact the view of these tenants. And we have many, it's a rent-controlled 11-unit apartment building. So these people have lived there a very long time. So this is an enormous change to their homes. And we think it will diminish their enjoyment of their home and adversely affect our property. The property was purchased by my parents in 1971, so any non-conforming, nothing's been done or changed to the building since it was approved and planned, so I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But we're also afraid that the enlargement, again, going to the very edges of the property line, have a potential for taking away critical access points if there should be an emergency, a fire, an earthquake, because there's just right now, I mean, it's hard enough given the slope and just the steepness of the whole area to get back there. If there was a fire on that property in the back, they would have to go through the back of our property where people park to get behind there to fix it, and that and then their property would be close enough to possibly damage ours. But again, earthquake, fire, any kind of emergency, this property just absorbs every piece of available land. So we're looking at this as sort of a McMansion being built between two large apartment buildings. It just doesn't make sense. It's not conforming, and I think it would be really disruptive to our tenants and to the people who enjoyed living there for so long.
Thank you. So thank you. I understand the concerns related to safety. I mean, any project here would have to meet the building codes, and we brought up to current code requirements. Mm-hmm. San Francisco is generally a zero lot line city, so I think the fire department is very well equipped to deal with limited access to rear yards. But one of the concerns you raised was about view, which is not protected under the planning code. But which windows are going to be impacted?
I'll show you this. See if this works. So it's these two windows. So they're basically putting these people in a fishbowl. So right now they can look out, it's open, but the height of this going again from a two-story to a four-story, these people are basically looking into somebody's bedroom and they're looking right back. These people live there for a very long time. So this is just a McMansion that's being built there that is disruptive to them.
So this is a variance for rear yard encroachment because they are seeking to go in 3'9" approximately into the required rear yard.
Yeah.
They could actually build further to the front and obscure those windows more. So I was wondering, in terms of your opposition.
Our opposition is to the overall
project.
And this was the first, we got notice of the variance and that was the first we were aware of it. So we do have problems with what's going on and how big this is going to be in the neighborhood.
The variance itself is just, again, for that very rear portion. So if anything, allowing encroachment into the rear, as has been noted by the project sponsor, allows for preservation of those non-complying windows on the side property line, which otherwise would not be protected under the code. So just wanted to clarify exactly what the...
No, I know. We're just an overall objection.
Right.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on 429 Grandview Avenue. Seeing no other public comment, I've closed the public hearing. Sorry. Yes, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal. Apologize for that. So project sponsor, if you'd like to rebut, you have 3 minutes to do so.
With regards to the variance, I don't have a rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I close the public hearing. Appreciate the concerns of the adjacent neighbor. However, I do think that the variance itself affords them greater protection in terms of the siting of the building. So with that, again, close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think the building permit has not yet been submitted, but when a building permit is submitted, there'll be a neighborhood notification. And at that time, you may request discretionary review from the Planning Commission regarding the project. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 5, case 2014.0267 v. 1321 Kearney Street. Lot size, rear yard, and open space variances sought. project sponsor, please approach the microphone. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. This is the variance request for 1321 through 1325 Kearney. The proposal is to split one lot containing two structures into two lots, each with one existing building. The variances sought include minimum lot width, lot area, rear yard, and open space. The owner is pursuing these variances in order to simplify ownership for his family and is following a precedent already set on this block by owners of similar properties, maintaining the character of the neighborhood and not changing any physical aspects of the existing property. The subject lot was developed in 1906 prior to the minimum requirements established in the planning code sections for which we are seeking variances. Of the 53 lots on the subject block, 41 are non-complying with respect to minimum lot width, minimum lot area requirements. There is a precedent on the subject block for non-complying lots. On the same portion of the assessor's block, there have been three similar subdivisions, including the granting of variance case for 1347 through 1349 and also for 1327 through 29 Kearney Street in the last 3 years. The granting of the variances would not create new lots that are out of character with other properties throughout the neighborhood. The granting of the variances would not result in the physical expansion of the existing structures, a change in the number of dwelling units, or any physical modifications that could adversely affect the adjacent properties or properties in the vicinity. Although the subdivision does not reduce the deficiency, the proposed lot configuration is consistent with numerous subdivisions in the surrounding area. The proposed subdivision does not create conforming rear yards. However, it does create a more typical lot pattern where the rear yard is located mid-block. In addition, each proposed lot maintains its existing rear yard, which, although non-complying, reduces the deficiency. Granting the variance allows development of the subject property consistent with existing patterns and the development in the area. This is an area map of the subject property. The subject property is indicated in red, and the other lots highlighted in yellow have similar non-complying in regard to lot area, lot width, open space, and rear yard as well. So there's a pattern of similar non-compliance in the neighborhood. This is a lot plan for the subject property, illustrating the proposed lot split. There's no proposed change to the physical aspect of the building, just a lot split. That concludes my presentation. I'm open for any questions. Thank you for consideration.
Thank you. So I did receive late yesterday a letter of opposition from the Tenderloin Housing Clinic regarding this application, and they represent some of the families within one of the buildings. Have you received this as well?
I have not, no.
Okay, so I'll ask staff to provide you with a copy of this, and I don't know if anyone from the clinic is here today to speak. Maybe you have an extra copy you could... Great, so they can give you an extra copy. But there are some issues there. I think we'll maybe get through this in rebuttal then. But one of the questions that I did have is exactly what's the purpose of the subdivision application? What's the goal of the project sponsor?
So from my discussions with the property owner, the purpose is solely for the simplification of ownership amongst the family. They recently transferred ownership within the family due to a deceased family member. So they're trying to have one sibling own one parcel, the other sibling own the other. With my discussions, there's been no discussion about any future development of the property, simply just ownership between the siblings.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So go to public comment for this item for item number 5 for 1321 Kearney Street.
You have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Sanchez and Madam Secretary as well. I'm Matt McFarland, a staff attorney at the Tenderloin Housing Clinic, and my office does provide representation for the two families that live in the Kearney building. This is a single lot with two buildings, one building that fronts Sonoma, the other building fronts Kearney, which I think is obvious from the application. The extensive public comment that we submitted in writing yesterday, I realize it was late. I'll briefly go through that. The written public comments are much more in-depth. But basically, the main points are that, number one, there's a secondary means of egress for both the three units that are in the Kearney building, which my clients live in, and one, the top floor unit of the Sonoma building, which is the other building on the lot. This secondary means of egress is an exit stair that leads down the side of the Kearney building with a walkway that attaches it to the Sonoma property. Under the building code, 1021.1 and the attendant tables, this lot split would violate the building code because it would remove this secondary means of egress for the second floor Sonoma property. This would be particularly problematic because the variance requested is leaving a rear yard of 0 for the Sonoma property and leaving a rear yard of 3 feet for Kearney. Not only would this be problematic under the Department of Building Inspection's most recent interpretation of removing a secondary means of egress for a R3 unit, but also given that the top floor Kearney tenants are 82 and 73 years of age respectively, and they're here to speak as well, this would cause a risk to their health because they would, in the case of an earthquake or a fire, they would only have 3 feet in the rear yard where the egress exits. Secondly, moving on to the next 2 points, there are no extraordinary circumstances here under 305C. There's no substantial hardship. This is a lot split that would actually make the property less conforming than the adjacent properties, which is apparent in the project application in Exhibit A1 and is also in Exhibit B to our written comments. And perhaps most importantly, this would violate the master plan and the general plan, as this is part and parcel of a plan of action to split the two lots and then evict the Kearney Street tenants pursuant to the Ellis Act. The property owner has tried to do this before without evicting the Sonoma tenants. This would allow the property owner to evict the Kearney Street tenants without evicting the Sonoma Street tenants. So if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to elaborate. But as I said, this is all fleshed out in the written comments.
Thank you. No, I mean, actually, I think your last comment helped me understand better. I was questioning the concern related to the Ellis Act because I didn't see how it would be easier to apply the Ellis Act in the situation where the property is subdivided. But you're saying, and because it would be subdivided, they would not have to Ellis the entire property, both buildings, that they would be able to Ellis either one of the buildings. Is that correct? Sir,
that's correct. Well, in October of 2013, the property owner served an Ellis Act eviction notice on only the Kearney clients, the rent-controlled senior and disabled tenants. They did not serve an eviction notice on the Sonoma tenants. Now, we don't have any information about those tenants, but the property owner obviously had some motivation to evict the Kearney tenants without evicting the Sonoma tenants. That is not permitted under the Ellis Act because this is one lot with two buildings. In order to withdraw all of the units on this lot from the rental market under the Ellis Act, the property owner would have to do it in its current configuration for both the Kearney and Sonoma buildings. This lot split would allow the property owner to target the Kearney building without initiating an Ellis Act eviction for the Sonoma building. Currently, that's not permitted under the law. The lot split would facilitate that. I can't read the property owner's mind or predict the future, but based on the past actions, it seems like that is a very likely result here.
So it was stated by the sponsor that the current property owner has gone through some ownership changes internally amongst family members. When the previous eviction notice was served, was that by the kind of the previous owner of the property who has since passed away, or is it?
As far as I am aware, it's the same. I mean, the project sponsor could probably speak in more detail on that. As far as I'm aware, it's the same property owner. The Wu Family Trust is the property owner. They've owned it since 2011. I'm not really clear on how a change in ownership would facilitate a lot split. The only thing that I am aware of is what this owner's done in the past, which is to target the Kearney building and not the Sonoma.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on 1321 Kearney Street.
So I have with me the tenants from 1323 and 1325 Kearney Street who want to speak a little bit about their who they are and what they're facing right now. And I'll be translating.
各位先生小姐祝你们身体健康工作顺利我是一个尖沙姑在1323 Kenny街住 因为我先生在2012年6月9号过了身 我大姐两个小孩就是一个小孩子一个老辣子很困难在这里住了十几年十住了十五年了我们在美国三大三姨会名在这里现在屋子买了那间屋六年已经迁我们了现在又说两边分开的那个人在屋子可能很容易很容易呢
很容易有趕我的走的如果分開我的Kenny街那邊呢將來的種很容易逼我的走我的在那裡住呢住呢很便宜但是呢都不便宜對於我來一個女人湊著兩個小孩子很辛苦我現在做工做到八百多元我先生過了身我和我女兒14歲拿到假付金1400多是暫時給兩年我的拿的 我啲都唔夠錢交租㗎，我啲好困難啊，所以我喺美國地咧三齊啦，生醫為命咧，好痛苦啊！我有多病痛，我日日都睇緊醫生，我仲啊搞到自己又憂鬱症添，仲好辛苦添。我唔想個屋子啊分咗嗰啲 Candy 同埋嗰邊分咗佢，將來掟我啲走，容易掟我啲走。我三弟你唔知邊度知啊？希望你啲各位先生小姐明白我啊，唔該你。
I'm Miss Gu Jian Hasha. I live at 1323 Kearney Street, and my husband passed away in June 2012. I have two kids, and I take care of them, just the three of us. I've lived in the unit for about 15 years or so, and last year I got a notice that the owner wanted to evict me under the Ellis Act, and I'm worried that with this lot split, that it's just going to make it easier for my current landlord to evict me. You know, I'm happy with the neighborhood I live in. You know, life has been difficult since my husband passed away, but I continue to strive to do the best what I can with my $800-something a month income. It's always difficult to, you know, support my two kids and myself, but I really try my best. In addition to that, too, my kids get some assistance, public assistance to that. You know, I have an anxiety disorder. I'm sick. I go to the doctor all the time, so please take that into consideration as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
And then,
Hi, 各位先生，各位小姐好，我系Kenny家1325，我喺嗰度住咗成40年噶啦。但系而家佢哋咧，因为买咗之后咧，又要分开，又要逼我哋走。旧年逼我哋走噶啦，但系后来咧又俾我哋住翻喺度，但系佢一样要分开。 咁又唔知佢會唔會逼我哋再走，因為我同我先生都係退休，我得兩個仔，一個仔又冇工做，一個仔做人工，咁我每個月都要俾幾百蚊租，但係垃圾費又要自己俾96蚊垃圾費，咁你話叫我哋點樣做法？我都唔知點，我希望你哋嗰個原諒下我哋，俾下我哋。
Mrs. Jie, she lives at 1325 Kearney Street, and she said that, you know, I've lived in my unit for 42 years with my family, raising two sons there, and also live there still with my husband. We're both, when the current owner bought it very, after they bought the building, they quickly went about to evict us, and then now they want to propose a property split. I'm worried that what this will mean in terms terms of further evictions on this on my particular building and myself. And also, you know, my husband and I retired, and we have two sons. One is currently unemployed, so it's difficult to pay rent, and also I have to pay garbage fees as well. I'm worried and not really sure what to do. I really love this community and this neighborhood. You know, my neighbors are friendly. They're good neighbors, good community, and even though it's been difficult, but I urge you guys, and I please ask you to consider that all the above in terms of this variance issue, and that I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item? We're on item number 5 for 1321 Kearney Street. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
You have 3 minutes.
Sure, thank you. In regard to the building code concerns, there's no proposed physical change to the property or the alteration of the rear yard or egress situation. The egress would physically function the same for all tenants of the building. In regard to the eviction concern and the LSAC concern, I cannot speak to the future intent of the property owner. What I am aware of is that there has been a reorganization of the management of the property within the family. The current son of, I believe, the original buyer attempted to reach out to the tenants prior to the posting of the poster on the neighborhood to clarify his intent with the property. And my impression from what he said was that this would be for easier management of the property between the family and that they have intent to continue to rent. Beyond that, I cannot speculate what their plans are.
Thank you. So was there an attempt previously for an LSAC eviction by the current property owner?
The current property owner, but it was the father, and now the son has taken over management.
And he has indicated that he does not intend
He has indicated to me, but that's, you know, it's a verbal indication. So he did make an attempt to reach out to the tenants. I'm not sure, you know, to what extent they were able to comprehend the letter or the communication that he offered before the posting, but to myself and to the tenants, he wanted to try to express that his intent was not to redevelop or empty the property.
Okay. And, I mean, they do have legal representation now, so do you know, actually, maybe I'll just ask Mr. McFarland, were you contacted or your clients, if you could come up and just address that, if the your clients have been contacted by the property owner regarding this variance request?
My office has seen every communication between the owners and the tenants, and I have never seen any communication saying that they had any different intent for the property than what they've done in the past.
Okay.
Of course, if they wanted to enter into a contract that was enforceable, saying that they weren't going to evict the tenants, then we would definitely be open to that.
Okay, thank you. So then, sorry, project sponsor. So regarding the building code issues, you said there'd be no work as part of the proposal. Have you discussed the lot split with the Department of Building Inspection to ensure that it would comply with their codes?
We did run the idea through in a pre-project review of similar properties. There was one the neighbor did directly adjacent at 1327 through 29 Kearney. Similar situation, almost identical footprint as well at 1347. They have a similar situation where one building is directly against the rear yard. And R3 occupancy does have some exceptions in which you can reduce to one egress per building, and they intend to meet those exception requirements.
Okay, thank you. So I do have some concerns raised that were with what's been raised by the tenants' attorneys. So I think at this point I'm going to close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, and I'd like you to respond in writing to the points that are raised in their submittal, in particular all the building code issues, and you know, would have asked that there's additional communication between the tenants. It sounds like maybe there's you've been told one thing by the owner, and maybe that's not quite what they've been telling the tenants. So if we can get some clarity on that and get everyone on the same page here, that could be beneficial for everyone. So again, with that, public hearing is closed. Take the matter under advisement. And how much time would you think you would need to respond in writing? Would a month or so be sufficient?
A month would be more than enough, yeah.
Okay, great. So this item, you know, we won't have any more hearings on this item, but anyone who would like to get a copy of the decision letter should sign in on the far wall. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 6, case 2014.0308V, 2430 Hyde Street, rear yard variance sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone? Thank you. You have 5 minutes.
Mr. Sanchez, good morning. For your record, Mary Gallagher for the applicants, Rob and Stacy Chess. The property has irregular dimensions. So we've got 47.5 feet wide by 70 feet deep. The existing building is likewise irregular. It's an L-shaped with a wing that's so unusually narrow, its rooms are only about 9 feet on the interior of the first floor. So some of this wing, as you can see, is in the required rear yard, and there's no way to correct that design deficiency without a variance. All of the immediately adjacent four properties have either non-complying rear yards or side yards or both. They're all RH1 D districts, very atypical for this zoning district. Several of the adjacent buildings here on Chestnut Street, they're much higher and generally on a higher slope, and they have many windows that look directly down into the windows of this narrow, non-complying wing. So the proposal is both modest and unobtrusive. It adds just a small amount of square footage as the existing site plan and the proposed site plan. Existing new square footage to this narrow wing in order to widen the unusually narrow rooms and to add a bedroom and dining room. It also adds a trellis in front of these wing rooms, both to act as a sunscreen, but also to introduce some privacy from these many windows on the Chestnut Street buildings looking down. The building envelope expansion from a site plan perspective only adds about 270 square feet. In total, on all floors, the addition about 750 square feet, and less than half of that is subject to the variance. As we pointed out in our findings, there's no way to correct the design deficiencies of the rear bedrooms without a variance. An alternative proposal that's code-complying would fill in this buildable area here, but it would leave the bedroom still narrow and awkward while taking away a substantial amount of usable open space on the lot. The proposal leaves a large area of both rear yard and buildable area open space. It maintains usable open space far in excess of what the code requires. In summary, it's a small expansion to an irregularly shaped building on an irregularly dimensioned lot. Because of the interlot location of the addition, it will not affect the light, air, shadow of adjacent buildings. To date, we've not been made aware of any opposition to the proposal, and that concludes my presentation. I'm available to answer any questions, as are the architect, John Oliver from Gass Associates, and Mr. Chess is here as well.
Thank you. So I did have a question. I mean, I understand very clearly the arguments, and I think you laid them out very succinctly, and appreciate that. I just had a question about the layout. There's a bedroom at the rear, bedroom number four, which is accessed directly off of the dining room, which seems a little bit atypical. And then you would walk up the stairs from the dining room where you would access two more bedrooms, bedrooms number two and three. So was there a specific reason for the layout as such? I mean, you're maybe working with a limited, constrained floor plan to begin with, so if this was the best that could come of it.
I'm going to let John answer that question.
This is the existing bedroom in the rear in the setback area. On the second level, there's also a bedroom that is separated. The only access to it is by an exterior deck, so from going from one bedroom to the adjacent bedroom. So part of the development was to have an interior stair that enables us to access that rear bedroom. And it also, on both floors, just allows us to increase the size of this bedroom to anything like a normal bedroom, something more than 9 feet wide, which the bedrooms are small on both floors. Is that?
Thank you. Yes, I mean, my concern was just looking at the floor plans. There are three bedrooms that are otherwise kind of independently accessible. They're en suite with bathrooms, and it almost has the appearance of being something that would be used as a hotel or something of that sort, or bed and breakfast. But that's not the intention here. This is for residential use only. That's correct.
That's correct. And one of the scenarios we have going on is Mr. and Mrs. Chess have three teenage triplets. Imagine that. Ms. Chess has an elderly father in the Bay Area who may be staying from time to time overnight. So it's not going to be a situation where, you know, someone's going to be walking through the bedroom all the time. It's okay. Going to be the grandfather will be there sometimes.
Okay. Well, appreciate the clarity. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 6 for 2430 Hyde Street. Any public comment? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Okay. Moving ahead to item number 8. Case 2014.0335V, 367 Oak Street, rear yard variance sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone?
Wait, sorry, did you call? 8. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning.
You have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name is Donna Schumacher, and I'm the architect for the project. This is Barbara Campbell, my client, the owner of the property. And we're seeking a variance for a parking platform in the rear yard. This shows the site plan. The property is located right near the entrance to the Octavia Boulevard, which goes onto the highway. That's the street entrance. The back side is on Lily Street. It's a typical Hayes Valley lot that goes from the main street to the alley. And so what we're wanting to do is to access parking from the Lily Street side, because it just makes a lot more sense. To enter the parking from the quiet alley rather than the busy, congested Oak Street. And it's for two-car parking. It's a three-unit building. Barbara has expanded recently, gone for condo conversion, and expanded the top floor to go from 1,800 square feet to a total of 3,000. So we're seeing it as a family unit, and a parking space would be a definite asset, as well as one for her. We asked for a curb cut, or she has asked for a curb cut in the past on Oak, but it was denied for the logic reasons. Let's see. There's a precedent of parking access on Lily Street. There's the adjacent building has a driveway into their rear yard where they park as many as 4 cars. And there's also a garage access on the opposite side of the street. So it's a pattern that's not atypical for a Hayes Valley alley. There's no parking on that side of the street, so it's not affecting street parking in any way. And I think it's an asset, honestly, to the street, because at the moment there's just a big wood fence. And I'm not only the architect, but I'm also a neighbor, and it will be nice to have activity going in and out rather than being left sort of abandoned. The design is a solid sliding gate, so that means that people won't see the parking from the street. We're using a minimum amount of the rear yard, just enough for the two-car parking, in order to preserve as much of Barbara has a beautiful garden with the very established roses, and so we want to preserve as much of that as possible. There is a grade change. Lily Street is almost a full story above Oak. So when you come in, there's a 5-foot drop. There is a grade change, so it is a little bit elevated. And the one thing is I would also like the curb cut, if it could be 14 feet as opposed to 10, because we would like to pull the two cars in straight. So that allows us to make it the smallest platform possible. If we're trying to get room to sort of only have one curb cut and maneuver the cars, then we almost need to, we do need to make the platform larger. So those are my questions, and if you have any comments, please ask me. And here's Barbara. Anything else?
I've owned this property.
Oh, so if the microphone, if, yeah, so we can record it.
I've owned this property for 38 years, and I can't believe I'm going to cry. There have been drastic changes in the neighborhood. Years ago, I attempted to put a garage when I legalized 367, and I was refused a curb cut off of Oak Street at that time. Since that time, we now have a freeway. We now have 182 units across the street that have only 91 parking places, and they have made no arrangements for pullout or anything other on the Oak Street side or the Laguna Street side or the Octavia Street side. So Oak Street is going to be an even madder mess than it is now. Now it's treated as a freeway. In addition, seismic work is happening on existing garages in the neighborhood, so there's going to be fewer available parking spots to be rented in the neighborhood. And so it feels really urgent to have parking and to yield part of my backyard for that.
Thank you. So a couple of questions. So there's an existing street tree on Lily that'll be removed to make way for the curb cut, but you'll be replacing it with a new street tree.
Yes.
Right. And
that's a good thing, for sure.
has DPW approved the removal yet, or have you visited DPW about the removal of the street tree yet?
We haven't.
Okay.
It's not a great tree.
And there are two trees in the rear yard that'll be removed, and you're replacing it with one new tree
right. As
well to make way for the parking area. Okay.
And my hope is to have trees that grow more vertically so that we can have more than one, if we can get that arranged.
What's the species of the street tree that will be removed? Do you know?
It's a eucalyptus. It's just a nasty tree.
It's a pretty ugly one. I didn't make a good decision back when.
And the, let's see, we did receive, I think over the past couple of days, one letter of opposition regarding, I think there was a belief that Lily may be, become a living street and maybe re-landscaped. I mean, there are no plans that at least our department's not aware of. And are you aware of any plans for upgrades?
There has been some discussion, but it hasn't been able to pull together because Lily Street, it's not an easy place to do that project.
Okay. And just this morning we received another letter of opposition, I think for similar reasons, but also focusing on the rear yard issue, loss of the rear yard. Is the parking pad?
One thing was, I did note on here it says there's 0 feet rear yard, which it isn't. There's you can see there's a good portion left.
Right.
But 8x40 and 8x30 feet and rear yard and a deck with plants on the deck.
What's the material of the actual parking pad itself? How would that be constructed?
It's concrete on a wood frame structure.
Okay. And it's elevated above grade because about how much?
About 5 feet. Let me show you
the section.
Well, the grade varies, so it goes from... It's only about 3 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the elevation difference between the Lily Street sidewalk and grade is 5 feet, but it slopes down, so we can, and right. We plan on having the parking platform slope a bit as well.
Okay.
Yeah, we were very close to 3, but not quite.
Okay, thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 8 for 367 Oak Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we close the public hearing. And at this point, I'll take the matter under advisement and discuss with staff some of the options, at least for the width of the curb cut, et cetera. I think generally supportive of a variance to some extent here, and we'll just work out some of the details with staff.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. OK.
Okay, moving on to item number 9, case 2014.0072V, 534 Valley Street, street frontage variance sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone? Thank you. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Troy Kashanipour. I am the project architect. My understanding of the purpose of Code Section 144 is to prevent garages and garage doors to be built forward of the main building structure, leaving a street face of garage doors. In this case, on this particular end of Valley Street, it's kind of a dead end, there's a shift in the street alignment such that the public right-of-way appears as if it is a driveway area or front yard area. You can see on the existing site plan, you know, the sidewalk or the visually apparent sidewalk is about that 6 foot area, and then about another 25 feet back is the front property line of the building. In this particular case, the owner of the building enjoys a front deck, which they kind of use accessory to their living room. It has a southern exposure. It's where they spend a great deal of time. And with the expansion of the building, they want to preserve that. In order to make the floor plan work, we needed to kind of come forward to our front property line and keep the garage door aligned with the other properties currently on the block and their garage doors. You can see in the photograph the pattern of development on the block. The owner's property is kind of behind the tree here. So they want to pull that garage door forward to the face of their existing deck, the houses down the block, and the house immediately to the west also have a garage door in a similar plane. This photograph shows the proposal of the garage door. Also showing, you know, the deck. We're doing a split method of averaging for the front yard setback, so that's kind of how we end up with the massing at the ground floor. If they were literally to follow the intent of the code, they would be required, or one solution would be to pull the second story face of building wall all the way forward, which would then be count as the primary facade. It would be, they would essentially be losing that deck space off of their living story. So we felt this was a reasonable design solution. I guess ordinarily in this case, planning would have suggested a third floor setback and full development out to the front property line. In this case, they decided to set back the second and third stories. So it seems a reasonable proposition in terms of granting this variance. We received calls of support from 536 and 532 Valley, Eugene Keegan and Gary Keegan. We are currently in the middle of our 311 period, and we don't have any opposition that I've heard.
Thank you. This is a fairly recent code change in the last 2-3 years. Was to deal with what they call the snout houses, so you know those with garages that protrude further. But I think in the situation here, where you have the adjacent property, what you've done is probably the most sophisticated solution here, but it has a minimal impact on the neighbors. And a code complying alternative, as you noted, would probably be more of an impact on the adjacent properties, and the dogs would have nowhere to play. But I appreciate that, and we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on item number 9 for 534 Valley Street. Any public comment?
You have 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm blind. I'm Shelton Fong, the owner and resident of 530 Valley Street. And I actually submitted a letter yesterday, so I don't know if you received it.
That the staff was out of the office, so I did not have a chance to review that yet. But
I have a copy if that helps.
But that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. And I guess thank you for this opportunity to share some of my concerns and comments. So. That's me in the beige house. Okay. I request that you deny the applicant's request because I do not consider this extraordinary measures that indicates and justifies the variance be granted. Although the design, of course, is overall very pleasant, I'm not objecting to that. I'm just objecting to elements of it. And to have a variance to keep a deck doesn't, or expand a deck, which in this case seems like it doesn't quite make sense to me. On top of that, it creates additional noise. As it is right now, you walk up the stairs to the property, to their deck, to enter their house. That's why they need the deck, really. The third story additional wraparound. Is a concern of mine. The east-facing terrace overlooks downward into my personal living space skylight that opens. The skylight is currently not shown in the applicant's drawing, but I'll show you here in this photograph. And that is a kitchen vent that I have also. And you can see part of my clerestory windows back here, which I have three, which are rather large and aren't quite reflected in proper size in some of the drawings, submitted drawings. So the eastern-facing deck proposed will also look into my three large clerestory windows, so I'm concerned about privacy. The terrace also faces towards a planned third-story addition, which would block the current project's owner's sunlight and views. So I consider that wraparound deck, especially the east side, kind of a little bit of an insensitive design, not only to the current owner, but to me also. Privacy, light, and quality of life issues. Darn.
Did you want to finish up that one last thought of yours?
Yeah, but basically it's the sound and noise is the issue. My last thought is really that it seems like the majority of all their open terraces and windows within the proposed projects are being added or facing the eastern side exclusively, which I could kind of understand because obviously the sun rises, but unfortunately that impacts me greatly. For example, this window right here is my den. As it is, I hear that they're a nice couple with kids, and I'm not against that. But as it is, because of the front deck and the windows, I hear them cooking, I hear them talking. I can't even use that room per se for private conversations. So I try to walk to another part of the house. But
give a photo now. So I think you had one earlier that showed was of the front facade that maybe showed the location of your windows. Yeah. Okay. And so are those windows that are, what room is that?
This is my kitchen right here. This is the kitchen.
Okay.
Then later where the clear store, I mean where the sky, this open skylight is actually my bathroom.
Okay.
So.
And then what's behind there, is that actually another story or is that's a clear story window?
That's my main living space that really The clear story windows is the majority of light that comes into that room. And in the back that faces the garden, I have a smaller window and a door that opens to the deck backyard. So those clear stories are my primary light.
So that's a clear story. So it's not actually a level there.
No, no.
Okay.
No.
And then exactly, I still don't quite understand the concerns related to, I understand the concerns related to the deck that wraps around, but even that deck would look, would even they even be able to see into your building if it's there? It's a clear story window there. I mean, I think so.
Well, I think if you look at the deck, which wraps. Let me show you how far the deck is actually wrapping.
Yeah, I know it does go back several feet, but it's just in terms of you know what they could look into, you know.
Well, they could see me at my that living space where the clerestory is roughly 18 by 18 feet,
okay.
So it's rather large. And there's three large clerestory windows. So
okay.
They'll see me at the back of my living room. They could possibly see my large screen television. It just makes me a little uncomfortable to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the variance in question is actually nothing to do with that.
Yes, no, I understand.
Wraparound deck, but,
no,
but
I understand
just
that.
How does having the outdoor area in the front negatively impact?
Well, presently, right now, when they use their deck, the noise drifts because of my skylight. Because the only windows I have that opens on that side of the house, really, are these are my kitchen windows. So when I open that and my skylight for air circulation, the noise drifts already. So I hear them on the deck
when
they're outside. And actually, their backyard has substantially, I would say, maybe 75% all wooden decks already.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the back is a half tub, and there's some landscaping. So I don't quite understand why they're making such a... I think part of it is where the garage is right now. The ground level floor, they're adding two additional bedrooms and a bath.
Right.
So obviously if the garage wasn't there, that's why they're pushing it forward.
They're adding more habitable
space. Well, exactly. So I know it's a balancing act, so...
Because they have to provide parking too, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, but they have parking now. So if you lose one of the bedrooms, you could still keep it as is. It's my thinking, why do you need the snout nose thing and enlarge the deck that will increase noise for the neighbors? And they have two dogs.
All right. Well, thank you for your comments.
Okay.
And we'll see if there's any other public comment on this item.
Right.
Again, we're on item number 9 for 534 Valley Street. Any other public comment? Seeing none, project sponsor, you'd have a 3-minute rebuttal.
So I wanted to put up one more photo to just kind of illustrate overall the location. And I think this is fairly accurate of his clear story windows. I know that's not really what we're here to discuss today, just in terms of explaining the wraparound third story, it was always obviously to the east. There's a nice view, and the owners recognized that their neighbor Sheldon could potentially build up a third story on his property. So they would still have the southern exposure and southern windows to rely upon, and that is that sort of wraparound terrace there is set 5 foot back from the property line, which therefore would allow the windows. I think the deck at the front, currently, as you saw from the previous photo that Sheldon brought, the front door is accessed through that deck. We are now creating an internal stair up to the second story. So the deck would receive less traffic, less in and going in and out than is the current condition. So likely I see it as almost less of an impact than what we have currently.
Thank you. What's the status of the Section 311 notification? Has that been issued?
It's around the middle of the 30-day period,
okay.
So maybe like day 15.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you. I don't have any other questions. appreciate the comments of the concerned neighbor. You know, however, I still find, as I stated previously, that I think this is actually a more sensitive approach than what the code would otherwise require. They are adding more habitable space, bedrooms to the property to make it more usable for a family, and appreciate that. And they're balancing, and I think you noted that it's a balance here. So trying to balance the demands of the code, the requirements for parking, the need to have the bedrooms, and I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance and close the public hearing, and we can move on to the next item.
Item 10 has already been heard. We'll move to item 11, case 2014.0751V for 3200 Harrison Street. A garage door width variance is sought.
Good morning. My name is Emily Pearl. I'm the project architect with Lindbergh Design for the project. This request for variance is in light of a previous denial of variance for two separate 9-foot wide garage door openings for the two new proposed parking spaces for the property. The property is currently a two-unit building with no off-street parking. We are proposing to use an existing open area within the building, not altering the existing structure or providing much alteration to the existing historical facade to provide two off-street parking spaces for the property. Currently, the code allows us a 12-foot wide roll-up door to access the garage and one 10-foot wide curb cut. We are not proposing any alteration to the curb cut size. We are going to keep a 10-foot curb cut. We are just requesting a slight increase in width of the garage door to provide easier access to the two garage parking spots from the street. As you can see here, we've also been requested to keep an existing window. And in order to do so, we need to offset this garage door, regardless of what size it is, towards the north, towards Presida. And increasing that width would allow for much more easier access, not only given the off-center alignment of the door to the spaces, but also for the slope of the street. If you have any further questions, I'm here for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, we had this item last month and appreciate that we're able to make revisions to this. And so as a result, with the variance that you're seeking now, you will not be required to remove the street tree, the on-street tree. That's correct.
So we did receive approval from DPW to remove the tree, but if we are able to keep have our 14-foot door and not remove the tree, we will keep it. We have to, get out there and measure everything precisely to make sure that it is not an impediment to the cars moving around.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 11 for 3200 Harrison Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. Appreciate the efforts of the project sponsor to make these revisions to the project and hopefully result in the maintaining that street tree on the premises or on the sidewalk. Can we move on to the next item.
Item 12, case 2014.0352V, 2776 Green Street, rear yard variance sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone? You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for 2778 Green Street. I am here with Simon and Margaret Michael and also Dan Fratton from Rubin and Junius. The subject property you'll see in this iPad image is the building right next door to the Russian consulate. And I'm going to address the essential variance findings using this demonstration. The subject property is directly next door to the consulate. The consulate is set back 10 feet from the property line. Then the remainder of the Green Street project houses you see off to the east of our property form the balance of the block. The issue with this property, and it's an essential issue, is that this property is the buffer to the consulate, which is a building that is larger in every way than every other building in this neighborhood, whether you quantify that by height or square footage or just general bulk. And it really is the buffer to that entire block of Green Street from that building. However, the lot at 2778 Green is shorter. So all of the buildings to the east of 2778 Green do not have to abut the consulate, and they enjoy longer lots. So most of the variances we'll be discussing today actually aren't necessary for any other property on Green Street. So again, the essence of this is not only does this property have to operate as a buffer to a very large building that's even a different use, but it does not enjoy the property benefits that these other properties generally enjoy on Green Street as a rule. The next thing I'd like to do is I'd like to walk through the variances. They occur in three categories. And I have a numbered graphic for you here, and we'll try to bring that into focus. The first category are variances that are being requested simply to replace existing items. So you'll see number one is a variance to replace a chimney and shroud, and number two is a variance to replace existing balconies. These are really essentially replace in-kind requests. There are some very minor design changes, but they do not change the height, bulk, or general impact of the building in any way. The second category is items three and four. That category is actually to reduce bulk. So item three is a variance to replace and lower the roof deck. This roof deck will be lowered by 1 foot 4 inches. So this is actually a variance to reduce the bulk in the rear setback. And then item four is a variance to replace the existing guardrail at that roof deck. So again, not only does that guardrail become lower, but it becomes more transparent. In that photograph, you'll see the chimney on the left that I mentioned under category number one. Number five is a variance requested to add an addition at the basement level. There are a series of balconies, and those are the balconies that we're asking to rebuild the railings and generally refurbish. There are a series of balconies with no space below the lowest one at the lowest level. We're asking to fill in that space. It really is, you see in that photograph, it really is the lowest section of that space behind a fence. It's virtually out of sight from anywhere else. Category six is probably the most significant category. It's a variance to infill light wells. We'll start with the light wells against the west side, which is the consulate side. The consulate is uniformly set back 10 feet from the property line. These light wells really don't benefit the consulate or benefit the project owners. There are balconies in many of the light wells, and we're simply requesting to fill these in to benefit the floor plan of the building. A more significant part of the fill-in, perhaps, are those two shaded areas that balance each other right in the middle being indicated there. Those are on the upper level. You'll see this penthouse view of the upper level. We're asking to square that penthouse off to span from one side of the property to the other. Again, on the west side, it's really insignificant to the consulate, a much bigger building. On the east side, it appears to be more significant at first because that building is set back. However, there have been discussions about that building being expanded, and it can be expanded very nicely given the improvements that we're making. So that concludes the discussion about the variances. From my standpoint, I'm certainly available for questions. I would like, again, to emphasize the way this building has vastly dissimilar circumstances on both sides, and that's what leads us to request these variances. It also is a very long, narrow, difficult geometry of a building, and it's really essential to make staircases work and to really simplify the floor plan of this building that we get rid of the very awkward length. I'm sorry I took a lot of time. I think the owner would like to just introduce himself.
My name is Simon Michael, my wife Margaret. We've lived there for 20 years, plan to live there as long as possible. We bought the house from the previous owner. We rented it before that. She passed away about a year and a half ago. Our kids are going to school near there next year, so we're longtime residents.
Thank you. So you've lived in the building for 20 years, but you only recently purchased it?
Only recently purchased it. Okay. We rented the top two floors. Our landlady, who was 80 when we moved in, passed away at 101 a year ago. We bought the building from her and from her estate. And we've lived there for a long time.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 12 for 2776 Green Street.
You have 3 minutes.
My name is Gary Millar, and I'm an architect. I'm speaking on behalf of Sydney and Nancy Unovsky, who reside at 2770 Green Street, and oppose the variance. There's really nothing unusual about the depth of the lot, as 16 of the 29 lots on this block are less than or equal to the depth of the subject lot. There's also nothing unusual about the depth of the building next door at 2770, as 19 of the 29 lots on this block have homes that extend into the lot to a depth less than or equal to the residence at 2770. This lot size or size of the adjacent building are not exceptional or extraordinary circumstances. The use of average depth of adjacent buildings for adjustment of the rear yard is not intended to be a method of maximizing the size of any building. It is intended to allow adjustments to the rear yard that will not adversely impact the neighbor. The subject building extends further into the center of the block than any other home on this block of Green Street. The applicant has obtained building permits for structural upgrade and remodel of his building. No variances were required for any of the work currently being performed under those permits. For this reason, the argument that the changes proposed under this variance must be made for life safety or structural integrity is not valid. A permit was issued for the repair of the balconies. It demonstrates that the professionals who signed the plans for these permits were confident the balconies could be repaired. The non-complying structure provisions in the code permit such repair. They do not permit demolition and new construction. The whole point of Planning Code Section 181 is to allow you to keep non-complying structures through their useful life and then to permanently remove them when they can no longer be repaired. The top 3 floors of the building are proposed to become one apartment with a 477-square-foot roof deck on the 4th floor. Therefore, denial of reconstruction of the east side balconies would not deprive the occupants of access to open space, which is far in excess of what is code required. The balconies on the east side do deprive the occupants of 2770 Green Street of privacy because they promote views into the balcony and living spaces on the primary 3 floors of occupancy of that property and disregard what is essentially a notch of open space that both the residential design guidelines and Cow Hollow neighborhood guidelines require be matched. This application sets precedents for conversion of outdoor space to indoor space, for top floor additions that require rear yard and height variances, and for new construction in the required rear yard that could be used to erode the quality of the mid-block open space. They're made without compelling case for hardship. We oppose the rebuild of the balconies on the east side. We also request that the infill of the east side light well include a notch to preserve access to light and air at the existing second floor bathroom window at 2770 Green Street. Finally, because these plans alter an existing non-conforming third unit at this RH2 property, this variance would be in violation of Section 181 if it is issued before permit approval of the merger. At minimum, the variance would have to be conditioned on the completed conversion of the building. We believe it is more appropriate to hold the decision until expiration of the 311 notice for that permit, and in the interim, we can negotiate in good faith with the owner on the issues we have raised, as well as on the merger. I also have here a list of other conditions of approval we'd like to apply. I thank you for your time. Can I give you a copy of my statement?
Thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate seeing the draft conditions of approval you proposed. And just to be clear, so the elements that most concern your client and the adjacent property to the east are the 2 decks at the rear of the balconies that were to be repaired, now to be replaced, as well as light well infill. And was that the 4th floor expansion as well? Is that a concern?
Although that is a concern from a procedural or a precedent setting standpoint. I think it's fine in this particular case as far as how it affects the Unovsky property. The addition of at the basement level, I find unneeded and kind of unfounded or unsupported by any finding in their application.
Okay, thank you. And do you have another copy of those conditions that you could give to the project sponsor?
I can give that. I can give them this one that I spoke. Yeah, I'll give them this
just
page from my...
a copy of that as well. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see any other public comment on item number 12 for 2776 Green. Please step forward in.
Yes, I'm Nancy Unovsky. Sydney and I own the building
to the east. We've lived there for...
Sydney Unofsky and I own the building to the east of the property, and we've lived there for 36 years. We bought it in 1978. We have no plans to expand the building, our home, at all at this time. And I do request that the light well not be filled in because of light and air to the bathroom where the window is in the present light well on the on our west side. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? And we're on 12, I don't know, 12 for 2776 Green Street. Seeing no other public comment, project sponsor, you have a three-minute rebuttal.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator. Thank you for the time. Dan Fratton with Ruben, Genius, and Rose here for the project sponsor. I guess maybe the first point that I would make is just a point about process and about our efforts to communicate with Mr. Millar and the Unofskys throughout. As you know, we have been in touch with Mr. Millar since at least November when he filed complaints regarding the legality of the balconies at the property, which were dismissed after investigation. We attempted repeatedly to contact Mr. Millar regarding the subject of this variance, starting in April and continuing until May. We never received any substantive comments. Obviously, there's been some detailed thought put into a number of technical objections without any effort to communicate with us. And that seems really not the way that this process is designed to work, particularly when you have a neighbor, as the Michaels have done, who have reached out and attempted to communicate in good faith. Because of that, we're not prepared to respond to the conditions of approval, which we've seen for the first time this morning, which were put into the record. As an overarching point regarding the scope of the variance, I don't believe that any of the comments that Mr. Millar made really relate to impact on the adjoining properties. There are some questions about, you know, is the depth of the lot unusual? Yes, the depth of the lot is unusual. The other buildings on adjoining properties are all on larger lots. The lot has some unique conditions in that it's next to the largest building on the block, a six-story Russian consulate that overshadows the property and makes replacing the non-conforming roof deck particularly important, as well as replacing the balconies. With regard to the request for a notch to leave room for a bathroom window that's located on the property line, that bathroom window is of recent vintage. It's operable, and we're not aware of any permits for it. It's clearly not protected under the code, and the obligation of the adjoining property owner is to cover it. If you have any specific questions about any of the variance items we've requested, we'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you. So the Section 311 neighborhood notification is currently out. I believe it expires on the 14th of August.
That's correct.
And sounds like you're seeing some of this discussion from the neighbors, their proposed conditions, for the first time today. And you've made efforts in the past to work with the neighbors. Is that something over the next couple weeks do you think you will continue to do, to reach out to the neighbors and hopefully have a meeting to, if they're amenable, it sounds like they might be amenable, to discuss this further?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've tried to discuss this with them for months in the past, and we're more than happy to continue the conversation.
I do think it's relevant. We first reached, we've known Sydney and Nancy for as long as we've lived there, which is 20 years. When we very first contemplated doing something to their property in 2012, we reached out to them. We actually went as far as hiring Lou Blaget, who I'm sure you know, because we thought he would be a great intermediary at Sydney's suggestion. So we have, you know, gone over every issue. We've given him every opportunity. They've always come back to a single point, which is that they want us to agree to a very large expansion they have planned. And every discussion we've ever had with them has just fallen apart on that issue.
Okay. And one other clarification about the balconies that would be replaced. I mean, I recall the efforts that were gone through to try to, you know, ensure that the permit that has already been issued is just to repair the decks. Why is that now switching to replacement?
Well, we, as the inspector who came out to look at the thing said, I think the definition of repair is we have to keep it under 50%. And these are just, we can certainly do that, right? And these are, you know, very old. They've been there for 80 years. And we can leave Sydney and Nancy and everybody else looking at relatively old, ugly balconies with, you know, old railings and old wood and that kind of stuff. And if that's your decision, then that's what we'll do. But we, again, just think we're sort of being held up. What we want to do is make the balconies nicer, clear glass, you know, better for everybody, certainly better for Nancy and Sydney who look at them, for every other neighbor who looks at them. And we just think this is, again, an attempt to, you know, force us into...
So the repair permits are still feasible?
Could do the repairs. Okay. You know, it would, I think, be worse for everybody, but we could certainly just do the repairs.
Okay. Well, appreciate that. Actually, Mr. Millar, where are you? So, thank you. Just a question. I mean, you had raised the possibility of not making a decision today to allow more time for negotiations. It sounds like there have been efforts to discuss things in the past but maybe have not been successful. Is this something that you're willing to commit to over the next couple of weeks to try to resolve?
Yes, it is.
And are there any plans to expand your client's house?
There are no current plans to expand the house. There is desire to know what expansion could be done, but there's no plan to do any work.
There has been discussion about expanding the building.
There has been discussion of what is allowable under the code, but okay. no plan put forth that will be built.
Okay, thank you. So with that, it would close the public hearing. At this point, take the matter under advisement and would ask that the parties meet and discuss and hopefully resolve this prior to the expiration of the Section 311 neighborhood notice. Are there any questions on that? No? Okay. So with that, we can move on to the next and final item.
Final item, item 13, case 2014.0343V, 349 to 351 Church Street, rear yard variance sought. Will the project sponsor please approach the microphone? Thank you. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. My name is Kelton Finney, and I'm representing the owners of 349 to 351 Church Street. We are here today seeking approval for a rear yard variance, which is necessary to legalize an existing rear deck and stair. As you can see from the site plan, we are flanked on the north by a 31-unit condominium complex and on the south by a three-family dwelling. While this lot is typical, 125 by 25 feet, the property is also non-conforming in a typical way in that the building itself extends into the rear yard, the required rear yard. This is also true for both adjacent properties. As you can see from the photograph, the rear deck and stair has been here for quite some time. It's pretty weathered. It, in fact, predates the ownership of the current occupants who have owned the building for the last 4 and 5 years. This rear deck and stair provide the code-required second means of egress for both units, as well as access to the shared rear yard open space. It's configured as a small deck, very small deck, almost just a landing at the upper third-story level. It has a larger deck at the second story level and a shared stair block. We are proposing to keep this configuration with two relatively minor changes. The first change, You can't really see it in this photograph, but the upper deck actually extends beyond the stair block. You can see it in the plans. And we're proposing to pull that back to 5 feet from the property line. The stair block and the lower deck are set back from that south property line more than 5 feet already, but we wanted to avoid building a three-story, one-hour wall adjacent to the property line. We thought that that would be less obtrusive and minimize the impact on our southern neighbor because they also have their stair block adjacent to the property line right next to ours. The second minor change that we're proposing is because the lower deck the lower deck extends all the way over to the north property line, we're proposing to place a one-hour wall there. Now, the adjacent building has a one-story extension that matches the depth of our deck already, and at the property line, they have an enclosed courtyard with a solid wall at the property line. So we would be building our one-hour wall against their solid wall, so it would really have minimal to no impact. Our one-hour wall would extend 15 inches above the top of that wall at the top, measured from the top of our guardrail, so that would be a pretty minimal impact. So in conclusion, this is an existing rear deck and stair that's been there for quite some time. It provides code-required second means of egress, as well as access to the shared rear yard, and it also provides some measure of private open space for each unit. Due to the extension of the building itself into the rear yard, it's impossible to comply with the zoning in any way. So the changes that we're proposing are minimal. We think that they would have minimal to no impact on the adjacent neighbors. And in fact, the one-hour wall would improve the safety for everyone. So I respectfully request that you approve our variance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So you'll be replacing what appears like a privacy screen slash fence that'll
come down. Yeah, the privacy screen will go away, and we'll just have the guardrail that'll extend.
Will you be able to install the firewall without disturbing the tree? Or how
we're going to try to. We may have to cut part of the tree to get the footing in, but we're going to try to keep the tree.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item or on item number 13 for 349 to 351 Church Street? Seeing no public comment, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. And that was the last item. We have a general public comment. If there's anyone who would like to speak on general public comment, seeing none, this hearing is closed, and we will reconvene on August 27th. Thank you.